Welcome to episode 17 of the Earbuds. I originally wrote down that we were going to record on a Saturday night, but this is the ever elusive episode that has escaped us, Mark.
We tracked it down, finally.
Yeah, we got the track down on this episode. But we're here, and we're going to only discuss the Taylor Swift album. So what do you...
Yeah, did you get your copy from Target?
No, I got it from... is it only exclusive Target for a week?
I know it's like only physicals for a week.
Oh, yeah. Because have you seen the... Well, did you see the ads all over the UPS trucks? Was that what it was?
No.
They're like the official delivery service of the Taylor Swift album.
What?
Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. Let's actually get into what we want to chat about, which I think is going to be some Young Thug and Future, Super Slimy, which we kind of chatted about 2 weeks ago. Big Crit's new album, Kamaya, and then Greta Van Fleet, I think we should touch on, if we get some time at the end of this episode. But otherwise, let's do it, man. Yeah, we're good.
Is this the intro song over?
The intro song is over. It's roughly, what, 26 seconds?
You know better than me.
The editing that I do in my head as we just sit here in silence. How are you, man?
I am just wonderful.
Dope, same. What do you want to chat about first, dude?
It's been a
minute.
Well,
shout out any listeners. Go on iTunes right now and rate us and subscribe.
Yeah, that too. We should.
We're a real podcast. Yeah, that's any, the first thing you do on a podcast.
Yeah, any fledgling podcast, which we're a fledgling podcast, apparently, even though we've been going for like 7 months, needs to 5 stars, subscribe.
Yeah, go. That would be really.
Prove that our listeners are not bots.
No, yeah. Prove that you're
prove
not
it
a bot.
To me.
Mark is fucking.
I'm still very skeptical.
Skeptical. Anyway, I believe you're not bots. And I believe those bots have listened to the Eminem song. Segway!
Nice.
What did you think of the new Eminem track with Beyonce, man?
I think it is very okay. It's not something I'm going to go back to a lot. I do like, so I'll give the brief pros and cons for me. Pro, okay. Beyonce, always wonderful. Con, I don't know if she really fit, like, I don't know. I guess the whole overall feel of the song doesn't really do it for me. Pro, Eminem doesn't do his choppy robot voice that he's been doing for the past 5 years. And I think the lyrics are pretty well done, but also, I guess, like, the overall concept doesn't really land for me, because I don't feel super bad about, like, Eminem struggling with criticism.
Yeah, right, okay, so that's, like, which I think is, like, a very meta criticism, is that he's saying, like, you criticize me too hard, and this isn't going to live up to you, and then I immediately am like, yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah, like,
and you're like, wait,
yeah,
I'm doing it to you.
Your recent stuff just hasn't been very good.
Yeah, so I kind of had the same vibe. So if you haven't heard it, it's called Walk on Water, and I don't really know how much else there is to say about it. Like, Eminem is going to come out with an album, I guess, sometime next year.
Yeah, so I will say that kind of outro to this, going into what sounds like the next track,
sounds
pretty fire.
It does sound really cool.
So I think if
the last, like, 4 seconds of this song, I was like, oh! Because
this song is produced by Rick Rubin. And, you know, if the rest of the album has some Rick Rubin production, that sounds a little bit like that outro. And he can stay away from that dumb, like, choppy yelling stuff. I think it could be a pretty good album.
I'm interested to see, like, where the whole album lands. Because, like, what was the last thing he actually came out with?
Marshall Mathers LP 2. Okay. So that was with, like, the Kendrick song and Berserk.
Oh, yeah, Berserk.
Yeah, a lot of Skylar Grey hooks. Yeah, rap god,
like,
yeah.
This is going to sound weird, but, like, I kind of... He's kind of, like, in the Jay-Z.
Yeah, well, so that's...
Like, he's such an old rapper. Yeah. Like, it's interesting to see, like, how he decides to go out, I guess.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
This is now the comeback.
Yeah, that's the other thing is I saw so much on Twitter and Reddit of people, like, oh, this song is so introspective, which... Yes, it is, but everybody was like, it's going to be his 444. It's like, no, you don't know that based on one song.
Yeah, right.
And just because it's introspective doesn't make it his 440. Like, let's pump the brakes on that comparison, because I do,
well,
the
and
longer
I think that's
that
annoying, yeah, the most of his music is,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Pretty, like, my
exactly.
life has been really shitty.
Yeah.
Like, introspective, it's yeah. been that.
The longer... 444 sits with me, the more I like it. So
I
think it's
a
it's a really bold claim to just be like, yeah, this is gonna be his potentially classic album.
Yeah, like he's gonna go out on this. Right. Like, yeah, okay, fair enough. Any other you found some other Twitter takes.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to get into Twitter takes?
Yeah,
so one of the best things about 2017, and maybe one of the worst also, some people's, you know, instant,
hot takes on anything.
Yeah.
Anybody can make a Twitter.
Anyone can make a Twitter. Anyone can be an egg.
Yeah.
And here are some of the best things. Or
yeah,
worst.
I'm not going to read any of the names because that's...
No, yeah, don't do that.
Not nice.
But you can look up...
So, basically, I found most of these by typing into the search bar, real rap. Like an hour,
you dick.
Yeah, an hour after the song came out.
Oh man!
So here's the chorus. Holy shit! I ain't a Beyonce fan, but damn, guaranteed I'll be listening to this song over and over again. Dumbasses will expect Eminem to go off, but those dumbasses don't know real music, real rap. M is a fucking genius, a supremely talented human being.
Wait, does that person have 280 characters?
Yeah, this was like everybody does now.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, even I do?
Yeah.
Oh, I never have tried. Wait, so go back. I'm not a fan of Beyonce, but this song?
But damn.
Wait.
She doesn't do that much.
No, and... Oh.
Then he talks about real music.
That makes me, like, cringe.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah, real music is her. Oh,
here you go. Listen, Walk on Water is a great song. Y'all listen to these mediocre artists and have the nerve to call real artistic music trash. This is a beautiful ballad, not one of those ABC rhyme rap songs y'all listen to.
Ooh, he said y'all.
Yeah. I'm happy as this is one of my favorites. I'm happy Eminem is bringing back real rap music and not just studio-made beats.
Oh.
Studio beats have ruined rap in the past few years, and it needed to go back to real instruments.
Studio beats?
So he's just talking about samples and stuff, which Eminem isn't known for using live instrumentals or anything. Just because he uses like a simple piano melody, he's like...
He doesn't produce his own music either.
No, he produces some music, but not his own. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not like... Eminem got famous using Dr. Dre beats.
Right. Oh man, that person should go watch the Defiant Ones, episode 3.
Yeah. Let's see.
So send us your best Eminem takes.
There's a couple more.
At EarbudsCast on Twitter. Plug.
Releasing his new track today. So fired up for it. This is before. So he was just giving a hot take out the barrel. So fired up for it.
Out the barrel.
Unfortunately for this current generation, they won't understand what he's saying because the lyrics are going to have more than 10 words and it won't be mumbled. M is real rap.
Oh, Christ. Oh, that makes me cringe a little bit. That's bad.
Yeah. Thank God he's back. We need real rap now more than ever. All the mumble rap fans saying new Eminem song is trash. So I also didn't see a whole lot of like slander for this song either.
No.
I saw some people that were like, oh yeah, this is fine. But that's like the worst I saw. But yeah, so all the mumble rap fans saying new M song is trash. Welcome to real storytelling, hip-hop millennials. #GOAT, #WalkOnWater, #best lyricist ever.
Jesus. Would you say that Eminem is the best lyricist ever?
Probably not.
Okay.
Fair. I don't think Eminem would says that. He specifically says he isn't. But it's that those like takes are very specific to Eminem.
Yeah, which also
just that's why I wanted to do it.
It's so weird coming off so of like his Trump bashing.
Yeah, because you know there's a big overlap between certain demographics there.
Oh man. Well, anyway, I agree with you. I thought the song was fine.
Yeah.
It
didn't really like my how I feel. I was thinking about it before this song came out, and this song coming out didn't really have too much of an effect. How I feel about this new album is how I feel about Justice League. Is like I'm like very cautiously optimistic that it might be good, but also there's a big part of my brain that is it's gonna be awful.
Which Eminem album is Suicide Squad?
I don't know. Probably Recovery.
We should do Eminem albums based on DC comic movies.
That's tough.
That's a very
There's only one good DC comic movie. Well, just their universe DC right universe. Now. Yeah. Yeah. There's Wonder Woman. I mean, would you just be like...
Which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, me neither. It's like his first three albums are Wonder Woman.
It's the Wonder Woman trilogy.
Yeah, take your pick from the others.
That's funny. Well, okay, so I also... We can move on from this after this brief point. But like, as he was doing, you know, his like slow build, like, it's really hard to please everybody, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm not perfect. I thought he was gonna like... then just like start busting out like a shit ton of stuff, like, hey, like, you keep giving me all this shit, like, fuck you guys, I'm back.
Well, I think that's what he ends it with, bitch, I wrote Stan, which is really funny.
Yeah,
like, there's some good lines in here. I just the overall concept is just kind of like,
yeah. So go listen to it. Send us your lukewarm Eminem takes, please. No hot takes. And then let's move on, Mark. So, Mark and I had the privilege of going to see Young Thug, our boy Thugger, at the Metro last Wednesday. Was it last Wednesday?
Yeah.
So, as a part of the Red Bull Sound Select 30 Days in Chicago concert series, Young Thug was the opening night. Which, quick shout out, if you don't follow Red Bull Sound Select and like their music curators and whatnot, I highly recommend it.
Do a good job.
They put on a lot of cool shows in cities for like really cheap. Like, we ended up seeing BJ the Chicago Kid last winter for like $5. And then this was $15 to go see.
Yeah, the 30 days in Chicago were all cheap. And now they're getting second-handed. But
yeah. Right, which, and they're getting secondhand now, but like they have huge artists like Migos or the last night, Kalani was there, Whitney was there. Which did you end up going?
No, I sold them.
Taylor.
Taylor
didn't go.
No, I offered. I was like, hey, I'm not gonna be able to go after Thug last night, and do you want like both? And he's like, oh, just sell them.
Did you make a profit?
Yeah, I took a little bit. I felt bad, but also I was like,
Okay. Go on Red Bull Sound Select and go sign up, because it's really dope. So did it live up to your... So you've seen Thugger before?
No, I haven't. Oh, you were supposed to. Yeah, he was supposed to come out for Magnificent Coloring Day, and...
You were blessed with Kanye.
Yeah, and whether or not Kanye took his spot or Young Thug was even in the city, but we don't know. I can't really complain, though, because we saw Kanye, so...
Did you think that Young Thug was gonna show up?
I thought so, yeah, just because...
Did you ever have a point where you were nervous?
Oh, absolutely. When they took... when they were setting up the stage, and the sound guy came out and put the mic down, and then 5 minutes later, he came out and took the mic away. Okay, I think there was a wave of panic that went through the crowd.
And you could feel the tension. Because it was like you, me, and like six other people around us were like, oh shit, they took the mic. Like, he's not even in the city. And then the guy behind us was like, I've been checking Instagram all day. Yeah, he's definitely here. It was wild. What did you think of the show the whole night, man?
It was a lot of fun. He played a good mix, I think, of So he had some Jeffrey, he had some Beautiful Thugger Girls, he had some Barter Six, some Slime Season.
Slime
Season. He had a really good mix, I thought.
Yeah, so let's go through each of those. Like, what did you like from each album he kind of touched on? Like, Beautiful Thugger Girls, so that album has worn on me a lot specifically, but it sounds really good live.
Yeah,
when he did
Family,
like,
Don't Matter, was
Family
a lot
Don't
of
Matter was great.
And getting to yell out the yeehaw,
was... you were like hitting me on the back until it, like, came. I was like, yeehaw. Yeah, I agree. That was a pretty. That was what we opened it with, right?
Yeah.
Then Till Infinity was also better than it was better live than I think it is on the album. Yeah.
Relationship was cool.
Relationship was cool. Because the way he said, he's like, I'm in a relationship with y'all, y'all.
Yeah.
And like, it made immediately went into
I
it.
I think one of my favorites, because it was sort of surprising, because it's one of my least favorites, just because the rest of Slime Season 3 is so good, was Slime Shit. But for whatever reason, when that bass hit, everybody lost their minds.
Yeah, Slime Season is my favorite. And that song bangs.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Getting surgery, no lipo.
Yeah.
get that slime shit. Woo! Yeah, it was great. Because the other thing is, every person knew all
the
words.
Yeah, that too, which
so, like,
is
if you ever
cool.
Have a, if you like Young Thug and ever have the opportunity to go see him live, do it, because the entire crowd is in on it.
Yeah, which is, I think... I'm just going to kind of throw this conjecture out there. I think part of that... is the way Red Bull set it up is they released all the tickets at once, so you're gonna gravitate towards the person you want to see the most right away, because they all sold out.
Yeah,
all the big names sold out at least within like the first 30 minutes
yeah
or so you're gonna get the fans selling out, like, of the people they really want to see.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's what made it, like, so I don't know, I'm just so amped that we saw him.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a huge bucket list. Like, I wanted to see Young Thug, and we didn't have to pay like an arm and a leg to go do it. So, humble brag for
it was
all
awesome.
Y'all that have to go pay more to go see Young Thug. Yeah. It's that sucks, but it's worth it.
And that's one of my favorite venues in Chicago.
Yeah, Metro's great. Shout out Metro.
Yeah.
And like, they had the specific drinks.
Yeah, they did a cool job. I'm assuming they do that all the nights then.
They had like four specific cocktails that were all like thug related, so I had a Tropic Thugger, had a couple of those.
Yeah, they all had a Red Bull in them, so
yeah, which got me like really, it was weird. It was a weird Wednesday, a weirder Thursday at work.
I felt so miserable,
dude. It was just from the, I mean,
the sugar.
It was cool, so shout out Red Bull for that. And then you mentioned your new appreciation for Slime Shit. I also wanted to touch on so there was a person that was standing next to us during the show, who may or may not have been by himself, but was really trying to mosh, and everyone around that person was not doing it.
We were kind of right on the edge of...
Yeah, like, what's the proper mosh etiquette? Like, what is your point of view on, like, if no one else is doing it, and one guy is, like, fucking shoving you?
Well,
Because there was another guy...
Yeah, that sucks.
So we were standing to the right of said person, and to the left of this person was another bro,
yeah.
And he ended up, like, grabbing the guy and putting him in a chokehold and was like, dude, stop.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right way to go about it.
No, that was too extreme.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything, and that guy did too much.
But, yeah, I mean, that sucks, because if you really want to mosh, just, like, tell people, hey, I want to mosh, and then... probably going to let you go a little closer instead of having you be the only person moshing.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Because it lasted like 20 minutes of just like this one person. And like, I'm actually kind of surprised it wasn't moshy.
Yeah, there was a couple like Slime Shit.
Yeah, there were a couple, but like for the most part, it was pretty tame for how aggressive Young Thug is.
Yeah.
But... Okay, we can stop. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about Young Thug?
Oh, let's touch on Valley.
Dog?
Yeah.
Dog Boy?
So, he's a Chicago guy. He was one of the openers, so which I think that's another thing that Red Bull was trying to do, is for most of the shows, it seemed like they were trying to get Chicago openers, which is cool.
Yeah.
But so he's a Chicago rapper, and he came out holding a duffel bag, which was weird.
So most artists have like a weird accessory.
Yeah. So I didn't think like I was just like, oh, that's strange. Yeah. Whatever.
And he's a well, and the other thing is like he's maybe 5'5" and like 115 pounds. Like,
he's a small dude.
Small person.
And he like came out like lit up a blunt and like passed it into the crowd and was like, oh, I get this guy's vibe. And then like probably his third song, all of a sudden, there's a dog poking its head out of the duffel bag. Like, I think it's a Yorkie.
Yeah.
We'll just say it's a Yorkie. I'm not good at dog breeds, but a smaller a dog that could fit into a duffel bag. Probably, I hope that
sure.
there are holes.
Under pets.com, you're filtering by dogs that fit.
Duffel bag dogs.
Duffel bag dogs.
I'm hoping there's proper ventilation in that bag. But, and then... So after a song or two of the, PETA, don't listen. After a song or two of the dog chilling out in the bag, he took the dog out and then passed it around the crowd.
He legitimately put a, he just passed the dog. Like, I will never forget this vision for the life of me.
We're
standing like, I mean, we're not far. We're like maybe 6 or 7 rows back, like right in the center. And he just one hand, like Lion King's this dog into the crowd.
Yeah, the dog made it back to the stage.
Yeah, it did. And like, I don't know, everyone's just taking selfies with the dog in the crowd. It was like, I don't know, kind of took away from his performance because everyone was like definitely concerned or
flabbergasted me.
I've never seen anything like that. And he was great.
Yeah.
I was very on board with that. Like, I can't believe, and like the other thing was like, I don't think you, like, I don't know, man, when he was holding the duffel bag in the, like, holding his mic, but he was petting the dog.
Yeah.
Like, he was, I don't understand how the stage presence of this guy, he was the opening act for a Young Thug concert, like, walking around on stage rapping, and while he's doing it, just, like, calmly petting his, like, little Yorkshire Terrier. Whatever it was. And then, oh, dude. I hope it was this dog.
Dumb. It's gotta be.
Well.
That dog looked pretty calm being
right?
in a duffel bag on
loud.
Stage.
It'd be so loud.
Yeah.
Maybe
so,
it's deaf, and that's why
shout
you just
out
like,
to
fuck
that
it.
Dog.
Like, just bring it on. That was the craziest shit I've ever seen live at a concert. And I feel like we've been to a lot of concerts this year.
Yeah.
And like, that's crazy. Take that's number
the,
one.
Takes the cake.
Takes the cake. Well, let's use that to nonchalantly segue into Super Slimy.
Yes.
Yeah?
No dog features, but...
Actually, yeah, no dog features. Unless
well,
you features
actually...
My dog. Well, actually. So Slime, Super Slimy was kind of a... not kind of, it was a surprise drop.
Yeah.
From Young Thug and Future... we kind of talked about it last week, but it's really interesting. I mean, I'd like to get your take, Mark, on like getting Future and Young Thug on an actual album together, because there was some what appeared to be real beef a year ago, probably, when they were like racing to see who can drop that many albums or mixtapes.
Yeah, but
and,
then
like,
also like making fun of the other person for dropping so much material.
Right. They would drop material, make fun of that person, drop material, make fun. So what did you think about this?
Overall, I thought it was fine. Like, it's definitely a Future mixtape featuring Young Thug. I thought, so my big complaint is a lot of the beats sound the same and are just kind of like generic Future type, like snare beats.
Yeah.
The one song that stands out because of that then is Killed Before, which is like the Thug song, and that's my favorite.
I was gonna say it's I think like inarguable.
Yeah.
Non-arguable. What would you say to that? Arguably the best song.
Arguably
the best.
Whatever.
Song. I would say it is the best song.
Yeah.
Which is the Young Thug only song.
And I won't argue with you about it.
Woo!
First
things first.
Yeah, I like the first 3 or 4 songs. Start off nice, and then it just kind of drags on.
Yeah.
To me, it's not bad or anything, but also at the same time, if you just sat me down and played, like, paddock water, or however you say it, I'd be like, yeah, this song's cool. It's just a lot of those songs sound so similar to that.
Yeah, which is a very future feel.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. So, one, let's touch on this quick before we get into it. Like, were you surprised to see them actually put an album together?
Yes. I thought this was just going to be a song when they kind of teased it. But it's cool. That's just a whole album.
Yeah, it is cool. And, like, they never, at least from what I can tell, never touch on the so-called beef. Like, they just...
I didn't catch anything.
Right, like, they just, like, do their thing, which is kind of cool, because it kind of just seems like water under the bridge. Which is kind of dope, because,
Future,
like,
was on Thugger Girls, so...
Yeah, which, like, okay. Yeah, yeah, you're kind of like, oh, it's probably over, but I thought that was interesting. One thing, so, about it all kind of sounding the same, there were a lot of producers on this.
Yeah, I was just surprised.
There were a lot of different producers and a lot of, like, very famous producers, but I think one big person that wasn't on it was Metro Boomin.
Yeah, he was busy with Without Warning.
Yes, but I still find it crazy because I feel like Metro Boomin has had such an impact on both of Future and Young Thug's career. Like, just, like...
Yeah, no, it's definitely...
Like, they all came up at the same time, so it's wild to me to see, like, Southside on this.
Yeah.
Which is dope. And then, like, Metro Boomin is not. When I was like, oh, this is... And London on the Track is on this, producing a beat, and I don't know. It was weird to me to see Metro Boomin not on here, actually.
Yeah. And, yeah, maybe he could have provided some...
But yeah, maybe he was,
like,
with...
a little switch up. Yeah.
Maybe he was busy with Without Warning. Yeah, so I think overall, I mean, there's definitely some good party,
like,
songs, but, like, other than that, I don't know.
I've gone back to it a few times. It's not bad. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. It's, yeah, I would say, it's like, the first, I would say No Cap through Cruise Ship, or No Cap, which is the first song, through Patek Water, are really good, and then Killed Before. Otherwise, I think it's, like, pretty, you could listen to them if you want to, but...
Yeah, I think this would have been, like, they could have made an awesome EP.
Yeah, if they just dropped six bangers. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. So, what were some of your favorite songs? Let's touch on that quick, and we can move on. Like, lyrics, favorite songs.
Dude, I mean, you kind of nailed it with No Cruise through Paddock Water, and then Killed Before.
Yeah, so...
I Drip On Me was kind of fun.
Okay, so that's my biggest disappointment is Drip On Me. Like...
When I saw the title,
I was like, oh, this is, like, going to be the most rapid.
Seeing, like, 10,000 slimes. Yeah,
exactly. And I was kind of disappointed in that just because I'm not sure it lived up to its name.
Right.
But some of my favorite lyrics here are from the song 200, which is just about 200 hoes. Future says, I just got an iPhone 8 and already stored it with 200 hoes. Which, like, I heard that and was like, wait.
Why doesn't he have an X?
It's a good point. It's a good point, Mark. And then on 3, which is the second song, which actually 3 in the song 200, so the second and fourth song on the album, sounds so similar. That today I listened to it on my way home from work today, and I skipped whatever the third song was, and I actually had to, like, take a step back and go back, because I was like, whoa, I don't think that song changed. It sounds like they almost used the same beat and just, like, slowed it down. It's really weird. But on that track, I think this is cool. So Young Thug opens up his verse with, I got more bracelets than you got chains on, bro. And then Future opens up his verse with, I got more rings on than you got hoes, bro. Which I just think is, like, a fun...
Yeah.
Like, they opened it up the same way, and they're just, like, super arrogant and shitty. Which is all I've been saying today. I walked into my apartment earlier, and my roommate was sitting on the couch, and I just go, I got more rings than you got hoes, bro. And I...
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How's your day at work? It wasn't that weird. I didn't listen to Super Slimy on the way home. Anything else you want to touch on? I think that kind of covers Super Slimy for me.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth listening to if you're into the Future and Thugger kind of arc that they're on right now in the last year or so.
The saga continues.
Let's take a quick break to do a shout-out. This segment, or not segment, but this break is brought to you by one of our friends' podcasts. It's called The Point Forward. Go check it out. It's all about the NBA. two of our best bros are on there. It's pretty good shit.
Yeah. Hopefully they give us a shout out back.
Yeah, shout out point forward.
Download and subscribe.
Download and subscribe. And rate.
5 stars.
And we're back. Look at that. We're becoming an official podcast, Mark. We're doing segues. We're doing
unsolicited promos.
Interludes. Well, it's not the first time we've had unsolicited promos.
Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's talk about Kamaya. Do you want to kick this off?
You're the background info guy.
Background info guy. I'm going to change my Twitter brand.
Background info. 50 characters for your display name.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, that's so much.
That's a lot.
Have you not noticed any, like...
No, I haven't been... Okay, so honestly, I've been trying to stay off Twitter for like last like week and a half in the morning specifically. Because I feel like the morning is the most end of world.
Yeah, because certain guys... Like,
well, yes.
Guy likes to tweet in the morning.
Yes, absolutely. That's the reason. But it's just like, it's a lot to handle on the way to work. It's just like, holy shit, everything is bad.
Yeah.
And it's like hard to have a good day when it's just like fucking like wrecks you from like.
Yeah, I usually get that like right when I get into work and then I just kind of sit there for a little bit. Like, I don't want to do anything.
Right. Okay, so I've started to not do that. I look at Twitter during lunch and it's a little bit easier to compress because then you get some like. Okay, this is actually what's happening.
Yeah, people making fun of it already.
Yeah, right. It's a little bit better. So, little insider trick there from background info, guys.
I'm a slave to Twitter.
Twitter slave. You should change yours to Twitter slave. Actually, don't. Okay, so Kamaya. She is a 25-year-old rapper from Oakland. She's collaborated with YG before, E40. She was on the XXL freshman cover this year. And I think this is, what, her second mixtape, technically?
Yes, yeah.
So this is called Before I Wake. And her debut mixtape, A Good Night in the Ghetto, was pretty critically acclaimed. Like, it's pretty awesome.
I think we've shouted it out before.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to it, it's definitely... it's pretty incredible. Actually, we haven't done a sample yet. Should we play like How Does It Feel?
Yeah.
Just people kind of get a vibe for where she's like, all right, this is How Does It Feel? And you haven't heard this yet, you've been under a rock, but here it is. It's Kamaya. Oh shit. Please retire. Hot girl, set the city on fire. I've been broke all my life. So that was the party banger, How Does It Feel? Which I feel great. How do you feel? How does it feel? Just
fantastic.
You're the one that actually introduced me to Kamaya, I think, with that song.
You're welcome.
I think it was about a year ago today that we were partying. I don't know when it was, but it definitely was something.
Don't get sentimental on me now.
Yeah. It was when you and I had lived together. You taught me everything anew. But no, for real. I think you introduced me to Kamaya, and like, she's pretty incredible, man. What did you? Well, maybe let's touch on. Do you want to touch on like A Good Night in the Ghetto quickly or no?
Nah,
it's good. Let's listen to it.
Yeah,
critically acclaimed. All right, you go.
So
this is Mark approved because it's 26 minutes long.
Oh, absolutely. 10 songs.
Which, the juxtaposition between this and the next topic are...
Yeah, well, that's interesting, but...
Yeah.
Put
you on blast. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
So, I thought this was okay. I didn't love it.
Really?
Yeah. I've only listened to it a couple times, but nothing really... Like, I liked the first two... Dope Bitch is my favorite on there.
Dope Bitch is good.
And Slide I liked. But nothing stuck out too much after that. I thought...
You didn't like Me Against Myself?
I liked it. There wasn't any... Nothing did what, like, How Does It Feel or Out the Bottle or, like, it never quite hit the high notes of A Good Night in the Ghetto.
I think we like opposite songs from this.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that song. And did you like Leave Him? Really?
I need to go back and listen. Oh, like, dude, it really didn't blow me away.
The background sample is Creep by TLC.
Yeah, yeah, that one's great. Cool.
Because did you see her Kamaya tweet when this came out?
No.
So she, I don't think she got approval to use their sample. Oh. So she tweeted at TLC, was like, "Hope y'all don't come at me. I love you." And then dropped it.
Well, that's interesting because I'm looking on Spotify right now and not Leave 'Em, but How I Live, which is the next song, is grayed out. So I wonder if that had some sample issues.
Damn, that sucks. Which is why she delayed this whole... She's supposed to come out with a second album.
Yeah.
And she delayed that...
Due to sample issues and record. And then this is kind of like a, in the interim.
Yeah, which, yeah, I feel kind
of... Which is cool.
Well, it's great for us, but I think I feel kind of bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, maybe some of these songs would have made it to the actual album. Because neither of her singles that she's released are obvious,
right.
Which are... She's very... I mean, she's holding them back. But, like... I feel kind of bad. Which, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a Michael Peters Ringer article about this album, and it's really good.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite
Shout
guys
out
at
Michael
the Ringer.
Peters.
Yeah. He does a good job talking about this album.
So I think, like, as a whole, it sticks to, like, the West Coast influences. It's, like, very bouncy.
Yeah.
It's very, like, drivable.
It's definitely, it's a definite... Maybe that's what I have to do, is drive to it. I've really only kind of, like, listened to it at my desk. Like, I gotta get out, hit the road.
Yeah, it's definitely a drive. Honestly, it, like, reminds me of just, like, driving in a car.
Yeah.
Just, like,
it's
coasting.
It's a definite continuation of the vibe of Goodnight in the Ghetto.
Just a little bit slower.
Yeah, it's definitely more laid back.
Yeah.
But the kind of, like, retro 80s-ish, like, production is definitely still there.
Yeah, agreed. She sticks to what she's good at, and she's really good at it. So,
yeah.
I'm excited for her album to come out. I'm hoping there's some really dope features, because, like,
I'm kind of bummed to not see YG on here.
Yeah, but I think that's because...
I'm assuming he's gonna be on the album,
because she was on his album.
Yeah.
And the name of the song that she's on is escaping me. She made it as a B-side for Goodnight in the Ghetto.
Yeah.
Why You Always Hatin'.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've heard Why You Always Hatin' by YG, that was actually written by Kamaya. And then it was like a B-side for her first mixtape. And she kind of threw it away, gave it to YG. And that song is really dope.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy that worked out that way. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about Kamaya?
No, check Kamaya out. She's dope.
All right, before we get into our last one, I want to do another quick, like, fun etiquette segment. So,
I was going to try to combine the two words.
Don't do that. So, I was, I went on a vacation last weekend with my girlfriend. And it was a very brief, I don't even want to call it a road trip, because it was only like an hour and a half drive. Like, it doesn't really constitute a road trip. I think anything over,
did I say 2 hours?
I was going to say 2.5 hours.
Well,
so close.
Yeah.
So 2.5 hours. But, like, what's proper etiquette for picking songs? Because, my girlfriend and I could not have, like, more different tastes in music. So what we did on the way up was, like, I would pick a song to put on Spotify Q, and then she would pick a song to put on. And it was very eclectic, and it kind of made me anxious a little bit. And I was the one driving, which I think is, you know, a hassle.
Yeah.
So she would pick, let's just say, this is a real scenario that did happen, because I made note of it in my head because it was really weird. I think she played Runaway by Galantis. And then I asked for Take a Step Back by Ski Mask the Slump God. Which is, they're not similar.
Do you
want
to play a little bit of that?
Ski Mask?
Yeah.
Let's do Runaway. Let's actually segue them together like it would in the car. Let's do that.
There
okay.
You go.
So this is how my car trip went. I'm a bad and rich enough for pride. I see $1 billion in your eyes. Even if we're strangers till we die.
get dosed any faster. And if you don't, throw the whistle, throw the train. Fucked up, fucked up, fucked up. Ooh, hey, fucked up, fucked up, fucked up. You, hey, pussy nigga, no, done fucked up. Hey, lame nigga, better know his luck up. Hey, pussy nigga, no, he fucked up. Lame nigga, better know his luck up. Hey, fucked up, fucked up, fucked up.
So, shout out Kit for the Galantis there. Also, shout out Galantis. We'll be in Chicago this Friday at Aragon Ballroom. So if you're going, that's cool. Don't do too much Molly.
Yeah. Stay hydrated.
You're only allowed to have 9 Mollies in your life. I think.
Is that a rule?
Yeah, it messes with your brain. You're supposed to, like, you max out at like 8 or 9 or something. Never heard that before?
No.
Go look this up after. It's like the way, whatever it does to your brain, like, anyway, so that was a weird little segue between songs. It's like, what's proper etiquette if you're driving with someone?
So I think...
like, does one person create
a
playlist and you instill full trust?
It's up to the driver. So the driver can come prepared with however much music that they want.
So you're saying it's on me for allowing that?
And then, if you have enough music to last the ride, then you should listen to that music.
Okay.
If you're, for whatever reason, you only want to listen to one album and don't really care, and then it's kind of, it gets a little nebulous, I think.
Yeah.
I think you still get input for requests, but then it's kind of an open floor on whoever else is in the car can kind of fight it out for what they want to listen to also.
Yeah.
But I think that's okay. A general rule of thumb is...
But there's never any...
If I'm like, hey, I'm going to drive us 4 hours and we're going to listen to Kanye the entire time.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to complain.
Well, some people.
Nobody can complain.
No one can complain, but some people might do it anyway. Bastards. Yeah, because that scenario happened, I want to say, for about 90 minutes, like the whole time we were driving. We got some Taylor Swift Young Thug mashups. I think we also had a Little Pump with some Gucci Gang in there, followed closely by maybe Galantis again.
So you just leaned into your angle.
I did, because it was mostly like, oh, like if we're going to do EDM for every other song for the next hour.
Yeah.
Like, I need 3.5 minutes of, who the, huh, get that slob shit, you know? Like,
yes.
Which, I don't think she liked. But anyway, that's not for the pod. We'll talk about that later. Let's move on to this last topic.
Got Big Crit.
Big Crit.
With this big album.
Understatement.
Forever is a mighty long time. So it's actually a double album, which isn't super clear depending on where you're streaming it.
It doesn't show up as a double album on your phone.
Yeah,
Spotify.
But on the Spotify desktop album, that desktop app, it splits it. So the first album starts off with the song Big Crit, and then the second disc starts off with the song Justin Scott, which is his rapper name and then given name. So yeah, you kind of alluded to me having maybe beef, but
how long is it?
It's between the two is an hour and 25 minutes.
All right, so I'm gonna say,
but if you just have that.
You brought up at least 6 times on the
podcast. Yeah,
We've recorded 7. This is the 17th episode. Half
it's
a dozen
more than 6. Yeah.
Dude, every time we talk about something, you're like, oh, it's 1 hour and 4 minutes. So it's just past like what I want to listen to. Nah, man, you're a hypocrite.
No, let me finish my thought.
Go.
So if you split that hour and 25 minutes up between the two, that's about 40, 45 minutes. Per disc. And full disclosure, I never at any point listened to the two discs back to back. I listened to them separately.
I did not either.
And listening to them separately, I can say that they're both different projects, but they're both really good at what they set out to accomplish.
Okay. Which side did you like better? Or do you want to discuss each side and the themes? Because they are different.
So,
they are different enough. Because I guess the first one's Big Crit, and I think you mentioned this just before, but the other one's Justin Scott, which is like his real name. So the second part, I think, handles a lot more personal.
It's his 444 of second disc double albums.
I'm not even going to respond to that. What did you think of the first side?
So the first side is definitely more like listenable and drivable, which, yeah, the first side is, that is some driving music.
Yo,
it bangs.
The song Big Bank might be one of my favorite songs that we've listened to this year, because like it just fucking bangs.
Whoa.
It's with T.I., which like two southern like rappers.
Yeah.
Like, and T.I. is like T.I. So like anytime you get him to feature, because he doesn't do a lot of stuff anymore.
Right.
So you can bring him on. It's really fun. And Big Crit, he just has like a very southern sound.
Yeah.
It's like when he brings on other people. Oh man.
He's from Mississippi.
Yeah.
And he's definitely kind of strays more towards like the kind of Texas southern rap stuff.
Like it's bouncy.
Yeah, it's very bouncy, but he can also
bass.
It's awesome. This first side is so fun.
My favorite three songs are Confetti, which I think we might have discussed
a
long time ago.
That's one of my favorite songs.
It was one
of the
singles. So Confetti, Big Bank, and then 1999 I loved with
Lloyd.
With Lloyd.
Yeah.
There's a lot of soul stuff on it.
Yeah. So that it kind of like hints at the second half, which we'll get to. But so really the only song on the first disc that I didn't like was Layup, which I thought was just seems kind of just like a lazy song.
Maybe that's why it was a layup.
Yeah, right. But Big Crit, Confetti, Big Bank, and Subinstein to open a that's just
cool.
Four just heaters.
Which, if you're not super familiar with Big Crit, you should look up his other... So he has, like, a series of songs about his subwoofers.
Yeah.
So they're all...
Called My Sub.
Yeah, so the...
This is the fourth?
This is the fourth one. It's Subinstein.
My
Sub Part 4.
It's just, like, a banger about his sub that has a nice beat switch, and then it's just, like, him singing a love song to his subwoofer.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly didn't know that he did that. Like, I never
recognized,
put two and two together, but I was like, oh, fuck, this is great. That song bangs.
Then you've got, UGK features.
Which, let's talk about that really quick. So on Ride With Me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, yeah.
So that song is an homage to Pimp C.
Yeah, it's...
Who, like, recently passed away.
So Bun B features, and then Crit kind of does, like, a Pimp C... homage in his style, which is cool.
Very cool. And on the last song of the album, CeeLo Green also does a like Pimp C kind of like homage to him, which is like, I don't know, it's kind of cool. So that I think that song is really good. Ride With Me was one of the more like, I'm gonna sit down and like really like grind this song out.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was dope. I liked all the Pimp C stuff. I do want to touch on, before we get into the back half of this, maybe some other songs in the first half, 1999 with Lloyd is, which like, okay, so give me your first impression. Cause like, okay, so you know my music taste.
Yeah.
Like I love.
No, I basically like, as soon as it started, when Floyd comes in, I was like, yeah, Nick is going to love
so
this.
So this is my favorite song on here. And it's, I'm like a sucker for early 2000s music. And the hook is the chorus to Back That Ass Up by Juvenile.
Yeah.
And that song came out in 1999. The song's called 1999. I fucking love it. Everything about it is just like, I couldn't get enough. Listen, every playlist I've ever listened to, it's added. I don't care if it's a rock and roll playlist, 1999 is on there. I don't care if it's like a grunge playlist, 1999 is on there. Like, I'm in on this song.
Yeah, I heard it and just immediately, he's gonna enjoy this one.
I have a very specific taste.
So yeah, that's hilarious. This first disc just is fantastic.
Yeah, and is this on the first or second disc? Get Up to Get Down, Get Up to Come Down.
Yeah, that's on the first. That's on the first? One with CeeLo.
Oh, that's the one with CeeLo. Yeah,
where you actually do get like a he does a little singing, but then does drop a legit.
Okay, that's
verse.
What I meant. So the yeah, first, the last, okay. Yeah, on the first part, which is kind of cool because like I didn't know CeeLo Green could rap.
Well, yeah, he kind of did with Gnarls Barkley, but. Not, yeah, nothing to the extent that
yeah,
he does
like
on this song.
Popular. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then I also, pretty swag, the Outkast reference on here.
Yeah, there's a, like, definitely so, just overall influence of Outkast is huge on this
huge.
Album.
Huge. And so many, just shout outs in general on this album.
Yeah.
The way that he, like, puts everything together, because on Aux Chord there's a shit ton of references,
just
like old soul,
yeah,
and R&B
all
records.
Kind of his inspirations,
yeah, which on Get Up to Come Down on the second verse he goes, this is for those players in those gator belts getting changed like patty melts, and I was like, ooh, let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah, this album's cool because it's very open and transparent about its inspirations.
Quick segue, freshman year of college, all the fraternities and sororities had to participate in this stupid fucking, like, sing thing where, like, you were given an artist and your class freshman had to come up with, like, a skit for it.
Uh-huh.
And we got Outkast, which was great. Well, I rapped the entire intro to that song. Like, and I still kind of remember it to this day because, like, it was my second week on campus and it was, like, I had to go up in front of, like, 1,000 people and, like, rap Big Boy's verse and, like, yo, So Fresh and So Clean is, like, stuck with me so hard.
That's cool. That's a good song, too.
Yeah, so I heard that, and I was like, fucking swag. I'm in on this. All right, you go, man. What do you want to chat about Big Crit? Because this is a...
Yeah, so do you want to talk a little bit about the second side, then?
Yeah, so the second side, Justin Scott side, it's definitely, I think, more personal. Like, the first side is definitely more bangers. Like, you have Big
yeah.
Bang. You have, like... 1999, shout out to like early or late 90s, early 2000s music, and then you also have like the Subinstein song. It's a
yeah.
song about his subwoofers. The back half is a lot more.
This is definitely the back half is still very southern sounding, but it's more like the southern soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like
very soulful.
Justin Scott, the song is basically just a long instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Before you kind of get like some vocalist saying "Forever is a mighty long time." So yeah, you kind of mentioned, this one is way more introspective, but not only that, he just covers so many different topics and issues. He's a really good lyricist.
He's really good. And he, man, it's going to bother me that I'm not going to be able to think of this off the top of my head, but he was in the freshman XXL class and he was on the cover of that issue, and I think it was the same time as Kendrick.
Okay.
I think he was in the same class as Kendrick, which, like, that's, like, crazy. Like, you
yeah.
know what Kendrick is. Like, Big Crit at the time, when they were in the XXL freshman
yeah.
class, was, like, the cover. Like, he was the guy. So, like, it's... This is... I don't know. You can tell, like, how good he is on this album.
Yeah. Purple. Well, he also... He kind of... You mentioned he sort of came up with Kendrick, not with, but around the same time. You might be wondering, oh, why haven't I heard a ton of Big Crit recently? And that's because I believe this is all independently released, this album.
So he got
out of his Def Jam contract somehow, and he talks about that on Drinking Sessions, which is like a no-hook song. It's just straight bars. Where he goes, he touches on so many different issues. He touches on trying to make his mom happy, Twitter beefs, Def Jam, like the Confederate flag in society, violence in society, overindulging, all just kind of, he just so seamlessly, like, in between, like, lines, just flips into different topics. It's pretty incredible how he does it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come off as clunky at all. Either.
No, not at all. And it's crazy that he's kind of doing this on his own at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, he produced a couple songs on here. But yeah, to get some of those features for the early, he also has Jill Scott on the second disc.
Yeah.
Unrelated. Yeah, and Bilal too, which are like big names. But yeah, there's big names on the first disc, so it's cool that he was able to put this together.
Yeah. And like, I know this is gonna sound dumb, but like, I remember Big Crit from like the song Country Shit.
Yeah, I mean,
which is one of my favorite songs ever.
Yeah,
that's
probably like his most like mainstream.
Yeah, Country Shit remix with Ludacris is one of the best rap songs. Like, it is so good. So the other people in the 2011 class are Meek Mill, Yellow Wolf, Sahai the Prince, Mac Miller, YG, Lil B, and Kendrick.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a pretty good
class.
Like,
which is cool because a few of those guys were on one train together.
Yes.
Which Big Crit definitely has the best verse. And yeah, that's kind of an instance where you think he's going to blow up, you always need to kind of search his music out still.
Yeah.
He never quite entered the mainstream conversation, but maybe, he's so good.
Maybe he will. I mean, he's still.
Yeah, like, I mean, one of these songs from the first side, I could definitely see. Like, I could see Big Bank blowing
Big
up.
Big Bank is so fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put that song on a lot when we're partying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bangs.
I kind of want to.
Yeah, what else do you want to get into the second side? There's a lot more in this second side.
Did you.
I think my favorite song is actually Keep the Devil Off.
Okay, that song's cool.
It's really cool.
It's not even hip-hop. It's just a cool gospel jam.
Yeah, it's just like a southern
wild guitars and organs and, like, crazy just production and, like, choirs and everything. Yes,
that song is my favorite. So when I heard that, I was like, wow. Like, he's, like, really leaned in on this, like, the southern, the gospel choir. It's so good. So that's my favorite song. I don't know. And Price of Fame I liked a lot, which is, I mean, as the title suggests, like, about the price you pay for being famous, which is like not an original idea, but the way he delivers it is like very
the
cool.
Second verse, it just
right, it's really right. It's like a
is
lot.
Devastating.
Yeah, but he does it. It's like, okay, so the price of fame. It's usually like, I feel sometimes when artists do this, it seems a little, I don't want to say shallow, but like the idea is not fully developed. Like, they still hold back on giving like their personal like reasons why they feel this way, right? Like, the whole idea about like, oh, like being famous isn't that great. Like, all of these things happen to you. Like, that's not new. And some artists like do these types of things, obviously, but like the way he delivers this song is like, fuck, like I felt like I was like living that. Like, I felt like I was in a story about like being depressed, like living next to like bottles of pills. Like this whole song, I was like, oh shit, like I gotta like pause real quick and get on.
Yeah, he talks about, kind of popping pills, like drinking, and then kind of he goes on the second verse, he says, I know some partners that have been sued by their bloodline. Lord forbid I let my blood down. The first time I say no, guess we ain't blood now. Like, and then kind of goes from there talking about his family issues that he's hit since becoming Big Crit instead of Justin Scott. It's kind of how he says that they see him as. But yeah, there's this second side is... There's so much to dig into lyrically, like, the first kind of, the first few are, like, mixed messages is exactly what it, like, alludes to, is that's kind of him being looking in on himself and, like, oh, should I really be sending out music with all these messages, blah, 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 it's whatever.
Go listen to that song, because I think there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
It's like, the way he does it is like, so when you're trying to do this thing, it's like, hey, you should party all the time and write songs about that, but you also should be like a God, like following, like Christian, like, why don't you do more songs like that? And it's like all these different ways that he gets pulled, and like, yo, these are all these mixed messages. Like, I don't know, that song actually, I really, really, really enjoyed. Which now, okay, so.
Yeah, now you're getting into
before
it.
Before you do this, yeah, I want to say, like, now that we're talking about every song, I'm really into it.
It's really consistent.
And when I listened to it, I was like, yeah, this is good. I like Big Crit, but like, I did not feel the way that I'm speaking about it now, I did not feel when I was listening to it. Which, like, I'm going to have to go back
and listen.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to this tomorrow, because it's like, I think it's the two albums thing.
Yeah.
Because I tried really hard to go through it.
So the first one is, you can just put on and party to.
Yeah.
The second one, you kind of actually have to sit down and listen along to get, otherwise it just might sound kind of slower hip-hop soul stuff. But if you kind of listen along and pick out a lot of the lyrics, it's really cool. Like, on Everlasting is a fun sort of, like, love song, I guess, where he's talking about meeting this girl in the club and being like, oh, like, you know, I don't go to clubs. I was just told that my friend had a friend who, had a friend who had a friend who doesn't go to clubs, but it's going to be here. Is that you? And it's like, kind of like, aw shucks, like, awkward Crit. And like, and then, yeah, he asks if this chemistry we got is everlasting, which is a bold question.
Yo, that song is really interesting.
It's really, like,
it's
goofy
kind of,
yeah. Honestly,
as you describe it, it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't know you'd be here. Like,
he's like,
I just, my friend told me that he had a friend, you knew a person that, like, also thought that love could
like,
be everlasting.
He's like, I'm not like the other country guys.
Oh, my God. I was like, you little, you dog, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, it's very intentionally kind of goofy like that. I thought Higher Calling too, which is right after that, is really interesting, and he's kind of talking about, it's like a serenade for his girl, but also talking about maybe having a baby together while weaving in Bible imagery throughout. It's pretty interesting. We covered a lot of the later songs, but
Which I didn't realize I liked it as much as I did until I just started talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, the lyrical highlights are definitely drinking sessions, mixed messages, price of fame.
Yeah.
Then some fun introspective stuff. Miss Georgiafornia is really fun. He's also got a pretty nice singing voice, which he shows off a lot on this half.
He's really talented. And it's kind of unfortunate he's been in the background a little bit.
Yeah.
For the last couple of years.
I'm hoping.
Because he is really good. Like,
I'm hoping
this is
one
a very
of these songs can kind of pop off.
Yeah. Which I'm hoping is 1999. Which is, I'm going to make it pop off. I'm going to tweet that shit every morning on my way to work. Because that song is fucking great.
My money's on Big Bank.
Big Bank is. We're going to listen to that right now. We're going to edit this podcast and Big Bank it up, because this pod's bringing in Big Bank.
Oh, yeah. The Point Forward is paying us so much.
Shout out Point Forward.
They don't know it yet.
They don't know that we did
us so much.
But they will if you like the NBA. But also, if you like music and have listened to us for the last hour and 4 minutes, you should go and... Yeah, hour and 4 minutes, Mark. That's a pretty good episode. You should go rate us and subscribe to the pod.
Yep.
Do you have anything else you want to say about Big Crit before we kind of
rally
off here?
Overall, it's definitely one of my favorite releases we've talked about in a while.
Yeah, it's good. I'm interested to see what its critical kind of acclaim becomes. Like,
I think
what's
done pretty well.
I haven't read anything about it. I was kind of give it like a week or two. I'm excited to read about that. Because, I think he's really good. And it's solid. I don't know if I could, you have to listen to them separately.
Yeah.
Or you have to pick out, like, what you're vibing at that time. I'm into it, for sure. Big Crit's got a very, like, unique, I think, like, the thing that makes him so good is he has such a very unique, sound and voice in today's
mm-hmm.
hip hop scene.
Yeah, and he was able to kind of take that sound too, and then almost divide it into two personalities across two albums is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not personalities, but sort of angles on it almost.
Yeah, the sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I agree with you. So go listen to that. It's Forever is a mighty long time. Let's wrap this thing up. What are your final words, man? We start doing a final words segment where you just get like 20 seconds or whatever to just like cap off your episode. So this is, we're starting it right now.
I have nothing profound to say at the time.
Okay.
I will see you in another month.
No, we're going to do this again this weekend. That's a good segue.
Put it on record.
Put it on fucking record. We'll be back this weekend. Even if nothing good comes out, we'll be back. You should listen to us. Go follow us on Twitter, EarbudsCast. Follow us on Spotify, The Earbuds, all one word. And rate and subscribe us if you've decided to listen to this for this long and you like what we have to say. Give us 5 stars. Give us a little review. That'd be kind of dope. Anyway, we're The Earbuds. Peace.